This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
I know you're a baseball fan, Aaron.
I am.
How about that fight yesterday?
I loved it. Didn't you?
Not the response I was anticipating.
Really?
You loved it.
Absolutely. Shows a little fire in the team.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, the best players, at least like J.P. Crawford getting in there, Julio getting in there, of course, Jesse Winker, who's supposed to be one of our best players, getting all fired up. I loved it. I thought it was great.
So as I understand it, I was out of town this weekend, but as I understand it, was it Friday or Saturday when they threw at Mike Trout's head?
Okay, it was Saturday night, and it was Eric Swanson. And he was kind of wild in the ninth inning, and he was throwing all over the place. And then
was it the ninth or the tenth?
It was the ninth inning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So supposedly, Mike Trout a week ago just killed the Mariners.
Yeah.
Five home runs, game winners. And so supposedly, our guy threw at Mike Trout's head. Mike Trout, the greatest player of his generation. So then yesterday, and this is such a punk move by the Angels.
Totally.
So they had a starting pitcher announced, and then a couple hours before the game, they said, no, we're going to start a relief pitcher. And apparently they brought this guy in just to plunk a couple of our guys.
Yeah, it was clearly intentional. It was in the first inning. They threw behind our young stud, Julio Rodriguez. At that point, pitcher probably should have been ejected. But I don't know if you heard the umpire's comments after the fact, but they were saying that they were unaware of what happened the night before.
What?
That is
That's
so
their job.
Asinine. I know.
It's a job to be aware.
Come on now. Agreed. Yeah. But yeah, and then the next inning, first pitch, Jesse Winker gets hit right in the bottom.
I would just, other sports, if you leave the bench in football or in basketball, it's an automatic suspension. And baseball, it's a stupid charade of guys slowly jogging in from the bullpen, and they find a guy to dance around with so they can look like they're mixing it up a little bit. But then in the middle, because this was an actual fight with punches and kicks and all that, man, if I had a superstar in the middle of all that, like Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani, that would freak me out as a manager.
Well, here's the thing, though. You got to love the Mariners because, like I was saying, their best players get in the mix. Where were Ohtani and Trout? I feel like they were just kind of on the sidelines watching it go down.
Because they make $40 million a year.
So? Back your team. They're doing it for you, Mike Trout.
I'm not going to get in a screaming contest. My voice is my moneymaker.
I don't know. I loved seeing Scott Servais, the manager. He looked all disheveled after the fight, too. I feel like he was in the scrum. Like, his jersey was untucked. His hat was off. He was fired up.
Okay. Well, they need the excitement wherever they can get it, I suppose. I saw that they still have the fourth worst record in the league.
You know, that's beside the point right now, Dory. We don't need to mention that part.
And I did like the Angels reliever who chucked the sunflower seeds at the end.
What's the point of that?
I don't know. Wouldn't it be something, though, if at the Big A in Anaheim, maybe by fall, some beautiful tall sunflower stalks start growing out of the infield?
That'd be great. That'd be great. Lovely. Did you see the best part of the story, though, the pizza delivery to Jesse Winker?
No.
Okay. So there's a woman on Twitter, she goes by Sophie Loves Baseball or something of that nature. Anywho, she orders a pizza for Jesse Winker on like Grubhub or something of that nature. Yeah. And the delivery driver actually takes it to Winker and it gets delivered. And then he says, pizza delivered and, mission accomplished. And then everybody starts tipping this guy. All the Mariner fans start tipping the delivery guy. So he's got a couple extra grand in tips. Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, this little good can come out of even ugliness, I
That's
suppose.
Right. That's right.
All right. Cool. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
It's time for our Fast 15, a world of news and a tidy little 15-minute package. I did take Friday off. Andrew says Friday's the best day to work because of course, Fog Hat and Dead Mouse. How'd Brandy do with those, Andrew?
Very well. Very well.
How long did she let Dead Mouse go before she couldn't take it anymore?
Probably about 3/4 of the amount you do. So okay. Or maybe about half. She let it go for a little bit.
Okay. All right. It was ironic because I was with my wife and one of our daughters. A couple others had flown over, but family friend of ours, and it happens to be there were three girls who I coached from kindergarten through senior year of high school. Right when these girls got to ninth grade, the high school job opened up, and so it's, you know, unheard of in youth sports, but I got to coach these kids kindergarten through senior year of high school, and they were just a wonderful group of kids and very accomplished. Shorecrest had never won a trophy in state history, and they got fourth at state in a really tough 3A division. Anyway, one of those kids that I coached from kindergarten through senior year, she got married, and she got married in Pullman. And we're always, why Pullman? Well, I discovered why. It's beautiful. Palouse Ridge Golf Club, and you know, all their friends from over here came over, so it was just, you know, it was like a 2-day party. Huge. They invited everybody Friday night to the Coug. If you're a Coug, you know what I'm talking about. They got the Coug all to themselves, closed for a private party, and everybody partied at the Coug and then at the club the next day, and it was just lovely. And five of the girls that I coached were there, and I got to take a picture with those five who are now just the most as accomplished as they were on the court. They were even more accomplished as young ladies now 10 years later, and one of them being the bride, of course. It was just lovely. So I don't like missing Fridays because I don't like being away from you, but if I'm going to be gone, that was it. Because, you know, I said of my own daughter's wedding, that's my image of heaven. The night our daughter got married, it was everybody we loved, all of our friends, all of our family, and there was music, and there was dancing, and there was laughter, and it was just pure joy. It was perfect. And I know the family of the bride felt that way on Saturday at this wedding, because it was just beautiful. And so I have come to believe that when everything goes well, when you are seeing one of your daughters get married, that is your glimpse. That is your little preview of heaven on earth. And then the bill arrives. Hopefully in heaven, it'll all be comped. That's what I'm hoping there. And then, Nicole, you told me something interesting. So you went to, was it Skagit Speedway?
I did. Yeah, my little cousin, she's 10. She just started racing this year. She rolled her first car, rolled her car for the first time, I guess you would say. And her chain came off. She had to go in the pit for a second, and she wanted back out there. But her mom said, did it hurt? And she said, no. She said, was it scary like a carnival ride? And she said, no, it hurt, and it's embarrassing. Everybody's looking at you. So, And then she's like, get me back out there. So I love it.
Well, I discovered the groom's family was from Skagit County, and we have a lot of show listeners up there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
my
definitely.
Gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but tell everybody how they opened the sporting event.
Yeah, so I just think this is so cool, and it's very telling of this, you know, this group of people that goes and supports these racers. But it starts with a prayer for the drivers and for everybody there. And then it goes into that there's an Australian company that just bought the racetrack. And so then they start with the Australian national anthem. Then they do the Canadian national anthem. And then they do the American national anthem. And actually, my cousin sings it.
But, that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long pre-race.
And then they end with, like, fireworks, and this car goes around with the flag. And, I mean, it's awesome.
Oh, man. And, you know, I think it sounds lovely. People might wonder, wait, you're against the football coach praying with the kids, but you're for a prayer to begin an auto race because it's a private business. With the football coach, it's because he's a government employee, and I'm very cynical of government, and I don't think we should give government too much power in our lives. But that's it. But that sounds cool.
It was really fun. I mean, it was dirty. You leave there with a layer of dirt like you've never had on you.
Yeah.
Crazy, but It's good.
Wonderful. So we both had just lovely weekends. Let's get back into the news here in this. Man, lots of stuff going on. By the way, we'll talk with Senate candidate Tiffany Smiley, who's challenging Patty Murphy. That's coming up at, right after the bottom of the hour. The reason why the whole abortion issue has been so front and center is because Democrats and their allies in the media, they are looking for any distraction from the economy and crime and drugs killing our kids and open borders and gas prices. I'll tell you a quick story. I'll save it. I'll tell Tiffany Smiley about it later, about the gas pricing. But they just want a distraction. They don't care about the lives of unborn children or the health of the mother. They care about getting a distraction because everything Joe Biden touches turns to blame. So baby formula is still a huge problem for new parents. Fox 13 talked with a local dad in our state about this formula shortage.
It doesn't stop. It's every day. In a perfect world, I'd like to be at least a couple months ahead. It feels like nobody was prepared for this. It's really irritating and frustrating to have to drive around to stores and run in there and look, and then either while my wife's in there, I'm calling another store or vice versa. Nothing's more scarier and makes you feel like less of a person than a parent that can't feed their child.
Man, being a parent that can't feed their child because Joe Biden has done nothing to address this crisis. And now the Biden administration says that they're going to import some baby formulas from Mexico to try to restock the United States. Importing a white powdery substance from Mexico. Well, I don't see any problems with that at all. All right, next up here in the Fast 15. How about this? Sound Transit has announced a new CEO, the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America. Sound Transit, they got rid of Peter Rogoff. And they've hired Julie Tim, who ran a transit system in Richmond, Virginia. But I wanted to share with you the details of her contract. And let me know, now maybe in the private sector some people can generate this. Julie Tim, as the new CEO of Sound Transit, she's going to make $375,000 a year. Which, okay, CEO of a huge transit agency. I don't know if that's totally outrageous. $375,000. But then she's getting $64,000 to move from Richmond to here. She will get an $8,500 yearly allowance for business expenses. And then this is the one that gets me. She's going to get 35 paid days of personal time off per year. That's 7 weeks of PTO. How in the world? I mean, we're talking about 14% of the year is going to be paid time off for the Sound Transit CEO. There are tens of billions of dollars over budget. They are decades behind schedule. And the new CEO gets 7 weeks of PTO? I mean, I've been at Bonneville for 30 years. Well, I mean, my official hire date's when King Five hired me. I think officially I'm almost a 40-year employee. It started when I was an intern at King Five, since they bought King. I don't get 7 weeks a year. I don't know how much vacation I get because I never take all of it. Because I love doing the show and I feel a great responsibility. I lose vacation at the end of every single year. And I think I'm probably up to 5 weeks, but I never take 5 weeks. But the CEO of Sound Transit, her first day on the job, she walks in with 7 weeks of PTO. And then she's also going to get retirement fund contributions of 12% of her salary. So that's another $40,000 a year into a retirement fund. She gets a free Orca card, too. So, sweet deal. New Sound Transit CEO, Julie Tim. 7 weeks of PTO. All right. Finally, in our fastest 15, in the world of horse racing, there was a horse that was just destroying the field. Rarely do you see a horse win by 10 lengths. 10 lengths is a massive victory. You know, often it's a nose or, you know, one length. But at Lone Star Park down in Texas, there was a horse on its way to a 10-length victory. Its name, Moro Flyboy. But then there was a heavenly intervention.
And Moro Flyboy have absolutely opened up on them inside the furlong pole. He might lead it by double digits. Heavenly Trump is going to be second. Oh, and Moro Flyboy ducked in, hit the rail, and unseated the rider. And Heavenly Trump is going to inherit the win here.
What? The 10 horse or 10 length lead horse ducked in, hit the rail, sent his jockey flying, and Heavenly Trump came from out of nowhere to get the win. Divine intervention?
It is pretty crazy to see him fly off the horse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're just, I mean, there's no reason for the horse to do that. And no. They're just going, and no, it's all good. And then shadow.
Sometimes they see a shadow, and they're very skittish. But yeah, jockeys, it's a very dangerous sport for jockeys. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. But anyway, Heavenly Trump got the benefit of the divine intervention, and that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. We'll check the news for you, and then Senate candidate, U.S. Senate candidate, Tiffany Smiley. Could she upset Patty Murphy? We will talk to her about it next here in the Dory Monson Show. All the signs are still pointing to an absolute red wave in November in America. Joe Biden's disastrous handling of everything he touches is really affecting American families, American budgets, American borders. Will extend here into Washington, one of the bluest of the blue. Tiffany Smiley is running for United States Senate against nearly 30-year incumbent Patty Murray. And Tiffany Smiley once again joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Tiffany, it's good to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you, Dory. Happy to be on with you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. A couple of weeks ago, Tiffany, about 3 weeks ago, I saw a poll that suggested you were within single digits of Patty Murray. The most recent poll showed her pulling away a little bit more. What, in all of your travels, in all of your conversations, what are the dominant themes between now and this election that you need to carry?
Yes. You know, I've been at this for 14 months, and I've been in all 39 counties here in Washington State, and many of them multiple times. And each time, you know, I share our message of hope and combating the issues that are facing Washington families on the ground. And I say, when I come back, I want there to be more. And I've been back, and there's more and more people showing up. And people really just want common sense. Number one is crime. You know, the crime levels that we're seeing is, It's not just in Seattle. It's in Bellingham. It's in Spokane. It's reaching out into our Yakima Valley, you know, where the sheriff is just trying to keep up with homicide rates. We have fentanyl coming across our southern border. And Dory, it's not just like in smaller communities or where there's high crime. These drugs are coming into our schools, killing 4.0 students and basketball players.
Yeah.
Inflation through the roof, a 40-year high of inflation from the grocery store to the gas pump. Washington families are paying some of the most in the nation. So couple that with energy prices going up, you know, these are the issues that are affecting Washington families every single day. And that's why we have a real grassroots movement. That's why we will win in November, because we are on the right side of the issues.
You and I talked a little bit right before we went on the air, and I told you that I was in Eastern Washington this weekend, and it is such a split. There is such a divide. I mean, I was in Othello, where a guy was at the gas pump was yelling about Joe Biden's gas prices. And I just started laughing, and I looked at him and I said, I'm with you, brother. These are conversations you do not hear at the Chevron in Seattle, Tiffany. I know people feel it, but they don't express it. They're afraid to drift away from the party they think they need to support. And I'm still wondering how in the world, with a state so divided, that you can win this Puget Sound area that is absolutely essential for a statewide candidate.
Well, I guess my question back is, are we really that divided? That is certainly what I am not seeing on the ground. You know, I'm meeting with young professionals who've never had a political bend before. I'm talking to folks who have never been involved in politics before, and now they are because of what they're facing. And I want to make a note, too, that We're a highly independent state. We choose candidate over party here in Washington state. And these issues, you know, whether I'm talking about the failed departure in Afghanistan to inflation, these aren't Democrat or Republican issues. These are American issues. And that's exactly what this race is about. And look, Biden is completely underwater with independents. He is under by 50%. I mean, way underwater. Overall in Washington state, he's negative 11. And just a few months ago, he was here and he opened his line with, "Hi, I'm Joe Biden and I work for Patty Murray. She is the boss." So together combined, they have 80 years in our government. And I ask everyone I talk to, are you better off than 2 years ago? They always say, no, we're worse. And you know what? There's no end in sight. There's no hope. There's no resolution to these issues that we are facing.
I agree with that. The challenge, of course, is here in the Puget Sound area, I don't know that people vote for the candidate, not the party, because we've been essentially a one-party state for most of my adult life, Tiffany, and there have been some good Republican candidates along the way. What I do find interesting is I've heard some analysts say that it's a big deal that Patty Murray, as a 30-year incumbent, should feel safe as can be, but she's running attack ads against you.
Yes, I was just talking to you on another interview, and they said, we have never seen this. They said, we don't even think she did this in 2010. Like, she came out with ads after the primary, sure, but the activity that we are seeing from her, she started 2 months prior to this primary. They're going, we haven't seen this before. And it's because we have the real grassroots movement. You know, it was even the Seattle Times that brought it up to me and said, Tiffany, we pulled your FEC filing. You are individually funded. I have a fortress right here in Washington state. I'm funded by the people of Washington state to a tune of nearly $6 million. And he said, and we pulled Patty Murray's FEC filing, and boy, has it changed. She is all DC special interest tax funded.
Yeah, so that's what happens when you're in the swamp for 30 years. In that attack ad, it runs a soundbite with you saying, I am pro-life. Of course, with what came down on Friday, the Democrats who lose on the economy, lose on crime, lose on our borders, they're getting swamped on all the issues that people care about. But they are going to try to see if they can carry that one message through for another 4 or 5 months here. So how is that going to affect the dynamics of this?
Well, you know, I wish Patty Murray would just be honest with the voters and let them know that the ruling actually gives the power back to the people. And Washington state has long decided where they have stood on abortion. So, of course, you know, without skipping a beat, Patty Murray, she released two ads. I'm sure you've seen them, but completely misrepresenting the impact of the Supreme Court ruling on Washingtonians. She doesn't want to let the Supreme Court have the final word. But Friday's decision gives the people the final word, not unelected judges. So, you know, she says she wants to secure reproductive freedom for every American. What she truly means is that she wants abortion available on demand, up into the point of birth, a completely radical position that is actually supported by less than 20% of Americans. So,
right. And by the way, it's not just hyperbole. I mean, there were some of the states that had trigger laws go into effect as of Friday. Some of those states literally had laws that said at 8 months and 29 days and 23 hours and 59 minutes, you can kill the baby, which is just one of the most barbaric things I've ever heard of. CNN's Anna Navarro over the weekend. Did you see that soundbite? Anna Navarro talking about her great-grand babies and her cousin who have Down syndrome, and it's been such horrible lives. And she's on national television talking about how it would have been better if her relatives, three relatives who are alive today, had been killed. It was one of the sickest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
You know, we have a Down syndrome family member who is the joy of our life. He lived such a full, vibrant, amazing life. And honestly, our heart broke for him during COVID and the shutdowns because people are everything to him. We love him dearly. He goes out fishing. He has exceeded his life expectancy. And I can tell you, he loves being alive. And he brings such joy and love to this world, to our family. That breaks my heart. You know, how as a country have we got to that point where we can free, you know, where we think that's just okay? And you know, Dory, I always like to make a point as well that I actually stand with then Senator Joe Biden, who actually voted six times from 1995 to 2003 for common sense restrictions on late term abortions. He voted against abortion on demand up until birth.
Right.
So Patty Murray is the extreme on this.
Yeah, no, I've played the Biden soundbites. He and Pelosi are devout Catholics. You know, I don't know if you've heard them say that, but they're devout Catholics apparently. Well, it's going to be interesting to see the dynamics of all of this. But you're right about what you said, Tiffany, that over the weekend, from both the news media and politicians, I have never seen such stupid analysis of a significant news story as this one. This was not about the Supreme Court. This was about states' rights and the Constitution.
Yes. Yep.
Constitution. Nobody is willing to address it on that level.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what the voters, I'm like, tell them the truth. And, you know, I think the question that everyone here in Washington state should be asking, does Patty Murray believe in any legal limitation to abortion?
Is she going to debate you?
I certainly hope so. We asked for a debate a couple weeks ago. We haven't heard anything back. And when we get through the primary, there should be at least one debate. But she owes the voters of Washington State some explanations.
Got it. All right, Tiffany, I'll continue to watch with great interest. All my best to you.
Thank you. And anyone can join us at smileyforwashington.com. Join up, join our grassroots movement. You can volunteer. You can support us. We have a day of action coming July 23rd, where we're going to be knocking doors and identifying voters. So come and join this movement. And let's get Washington State on the right track.
We'll talk again soon, I'm sure, Tiffany.
Thank you, Dory. Have a great day.
Okay. All right. Tiffany Smiley, she's running for U.S. Senate against nearly 30-year incumbent Patty Murray. I'd love to know what you think about the conversation you just heard. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Things just so hard on families right now with inflation. Remember last year on the 4th of July, the Biden administration sent out a tweet and said, 4th of July cookout is going to be six cents cheaper than last year, which is a total lie. But now it's up 17%. And by I have a serious question. Any of you preparing for the 4th of July, are you seeing only a 17% increase? Because, well, I guess if the prices were already way up last year, but it wasn't that long ago when you could routinely get ground beef for $1.99, $2.99. Now you're lucky if you can find it for $5.99. So it's doubled, and that's the biggest expense in a cookout. Buns have gone up. By the way, don't scrimp on the buns. I know. You're trying to save money wherever you can. This is a very serious message. The cheap hot dog and hamburger buns, nothing ruins a good cookout like a cheap bun. So as tough as it is, get yourself some good buns for the cookout. Oh, everybody will thank you.
I disagree.
And then you'll thank me because they're all going to say, oh, these buns, where'd you get this idea? Why are you laughing at me?
I disagree. A lot of us these days skip the bun. Now I just eat the burger with all
the stuff on it. If you're protein only, if you do a leaf of lettuce for the bun, I'm kind of in that mode now. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if you're going to get a bun, get a good one. Okay. That's one of the areas where nobody should ever scrimp. Yeah, what's our vice president up to here? Kamala. She's our vice president. Oh, man, she's great vice president. Taking care of the leaky border. She's taking care of the baby formula crisis. She's taking care of all the international problems between Russia and Ukraine. And we have more philosophy from one of the great minds of our generation, Kamala Harris.
The strength of our nation has always been that despite the odds and the obstacles, we push to move forward, that we are guided by what we see that can be, unburdened by what has been.
Oh, she just never fails to deliver. We can add that to the Kamala philosophy reel now.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
We must together work together to see where we are, where we are headed, where we are going, and our vision for where we should be.
Because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
To see what is possible, to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, to reject the notion that the way things have always been has to be the way things will continue to be.
I have a motto. I eat and drink no for breakfast.
I eat no for breakfast.
I eat no for breakfast.
There is no vaccine for racism.
The climate crisis represents an existential threat to who we are as a species. Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Because the reality is that the life of a black person in America has never been treated as fully human.
We have supposed leaders who are pushing science fiction instead of science fact.
This virus, it has no eyes. And yet, it knows exactly how we see each other and how we treat each other.
You guys are going to see. You're going to literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
With your own eyes, I'm telling you, it is going to be unbelievable.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
And when folks vote, they order what they want. And in this case, they got what they asked for.
Whew, yes, we did. We'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then in that whole Supreme Court abortion decision, perhaps the most despicable local politician of all, wait till you hear her quote next.